Father, I thank you, Lord, for all your children gathered here together today. Unto you they have gathered, not unto any man. And Lord, let thy word, O God, be a comfort to every heart. Let there be a lifting up again today in the name of the Lord Jesus. Glory to God. And as always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Even so, let it be this morning in Jesus' name. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory. Amen and amen. Well, this today's word is more or less a continuation of yesterday's lesson. I will get back to the book of Romans when the Lord says get back there. But for right now, I want to bring another word of encouragement, still part of our continuation of encouragement from yesterday. Today's lesson is titled, and I've done this before, but I thought I'd do it again, Blessings in Season and Out of Season. You have to have faith for that kind of blessing. Faith for blessings in season and out of season. And I want to explain what that means. What is in season and what is out of season mean? Well, we're going to talk about it. Praise the Lord. You know, in season, that's usually when all is well. Praise God. You know, even those people who have a job and you get an income, you get a salary, well, you get paid in season. I mean, you know, maybe it's every 2 weeks or every week or every month or every day or whatever. But, you know, it's season. It's on time and it's in season. And you expect that. You know, you work for 2 weeks. Let's say you get paid every 2 weeks. Well, you work for 2 weeks. You expect a paycheck. And usually that's the case. And, you know. And so that one is, I mean, it's expected. And you can plan on it because it's expected and it goes on a schedule. But that's in season. That's one thing. I'm going to talk about some other things that are in season. Well, the out of season for that one would be, well, you know, a blessing that comes to you unexpectedly, not, you know, from your paycheck. See, so the in-season blessing for salary and salaried employees will be, you know, your salary is there. It's time to get paid. You collect it by your hand or they deposit it directly to your bank or whatever. But it's in season. You expect it. Well, there is also God's answer of unexpected blessings. I'm talking about that. There are other things also, you know, that can be even in season. In season, kind of along with the thoughts that we're bringing today, is just think of things that are expected. God can use even in season things. I mean, you know, you work hard, you go to school, you get a job. And, you know, God can use all these things, you know, to meet our needs. Even when you're sick, I mean, you go to the doctor, you take some medication, you get some rest. I mean, all these things. I mean, these are expected. There are expected outcomes from these things. It's expected that if you work hard, you go to school, you do all of these things, there's something to come out of that. You send your children to school. That's all expected. And it's all good. And it's part of the expectation of the blessing that should come, you know. So you put in your time, right? Remember we, you know, I preached a lesson some time back on the three seasons. the season when you do your part. That's D-O. Then there is also a season when you get the dew of heaven. D-E-W. You know, D-E-W, which is the dew of heaven. When it comes upon your efforts, it brings a tremendous blessing. You know, so, but you do your part. And then there is the due season, which is D-U-E, and I spoke about the three dues, do, do, and do. You know, you can get, and God can bless you with all these things while you are doing your part. God is faithful, you know. He says in, you know, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 29, you see God's faithfulness to reward hard work. If you are diligent, he says, well, seest thou a man that is, you know, diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings and not before mean men. You know, so that's this man doing his part. That's the D-O. Right? You know, he's doing his part. Well, and the blessing will come. There is a blessing also that comes from God, you know, because of the dew of heaven. A dew of heaven is like supernatural. You know, it just comes. It brings a blessing even beyond your human efforts. That's a dew of heaven. Even when there is human effort, if there is no blessing from God, it might still only bring diminished returns. But when there is a blessing from God, you know, called the dew of heaven, Genesis 27 and verse 28, it said, therefore God give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth. You know, farmers especially, you know, they have to till the ground, they have to cultivate, they have to do all of these things, plant, what and so forth. But in any planting season, if they don't get the right rain, amount of rain, then they might not get a good harvest that year. If the rain is too much, it will destroy their crops. If the rain is not enough, they won't get enough, you know, of a harvest. So they must also trust God for a blessing from heaven, even though they do their part, you know. And the dew of heaven, you know, symbolizes a blessing. It symbolizes prosperity, nourishment, and a blessing from God. It symbolizes peace, you know, and just wellness and goodness from God. It just comes from God, not because of what you are doing to generate it, but because it comes from God. Now, due season, D-U-E, on the other hand, is, you know, a time of expected returns. I mean, just like I said, you know, your due season for your paycheck may be every 2 week cycle. During that due season, well, you expect something. If you go to college, you complete all the credit hours and do all the exams and you pass everything. In due season, you will graduate. So, and you know, the scripture tells us about the due season. If you hold on and you do not get discouraged, you keep doing the right thing. Well, Galatians 6 and 9 says, let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap when we faint not. So, you know, these cycles where things are expected, you put in the hard work, God puts a blessing on it, and you know, in due time you get a blessing. All of that is in season blessings. In season blessing is great. In fact, God has put his blessing upon that cycle from the beginning. He said, let there be seed. I mean, in every fruit, let there be the seed. Bring forth of its kind. Let this thing be like this. Let that be like that. Let them be able to reproduce. That's a blessing. God put it there. You know, and even in nature, you know, there is a blessing that God already put in. And there are some principles that God already put in place that can help you in season. Yeah, just in season. Now, so that God can use all those things to help us. And they are designed to help us as well. But then, what about out of season? Well, out of season could be, number one, there's famine all around. You don't have a job. You try everything. You know, like the last song we played. What do you do when you've tried everything and it just seems like you still can't make it? I mean, and, well, government shut down and what have you. Scarcity in the land, famine and everywhere. Difficulties everywhere. What do you do in such a case? And even sometimes, you know, people experience disasters, you know, natural disasters, hurricane, tempests, earthquakes, this, and so on, that just destabilize them, throw them out of kilter, you know, and so forth. You know, what do you do when you are out of season? Can you have faith in those out of season moments that God is still able to supply your needs, even when you are completely out of season? You know, some people even have seasonal jobs. Think about that. You know, there was a time when I was doing consulting and I could have a job for months in a row, you know, pay me very well, you know, and so forth. And then for some other months, I may not have a job. You know, because, you know, that contract are finished and you're looking for another. And sometimes even longer than the time in which you are at work. Then you are out of season, see, because the season of your contract is over. Now you're out of season. You don't have a job. And so on and so forth. And what do? Can God meet your needs out of season? Now, we know the Lord can meet our needs in season. He has made provision for that. You know, He gave me a job. So thank God for that. In season, I collect a paycheck every 2 weeks. That's the way it is for me now. Praise God, I have a job. You know, not this, you know, my teaching and preaching that I'm doing here. This one is my work. I don't call this one a job. It's my work. Jesus said I must work the work of Him that sent me. So this is my work. But I have a job. Praise God. Now, on that job, when I work for 2 weeks, I get a paycheck. So, you know, that's in-season blessing. I know that's coming. But what if I don't have that job? You know, what does the Bible mean when it says in Philippians 4 and 19, my God shall supply all your needs, right? Not only in season, but even out of season. And, you know, that's my own rendition. Because it says, according to His riches, not according to your job, not according to your paycheck or salary that comes every 2 weeks or whatever the cycle is, but according to His own riches. Well, His own riches are never out of season. Now, if God can do that, or can we believe that God can do that? You know, so I'm going to give you let's go through some scriptures to see how God instructs us about, well, especially out of season blessings. which is more like a supernatural supply. You know, supernatural supply. Now, let me tell you a few, at least one or two stories in the Bible. Some of them you know very well. The children of Israel, when they were, you know, God was bringing them out of Egypt and so on. In the wilderness, it was like there was no food anywhere. And, you know, God was going to do a supernatural supply. Praise God. The word manna is first found in Exodus 16 and 15. You know, when the people, I mean, they had nothing. They were in the wilderness. There was food nowhere. I mean, they might have brought some food along, but they've been going now for a while. They ran out of supply. And they began to cry, you know, and so forth. You know, they didn't know what it was, but, you know, God sent them food, you know. He said, I'm going to send you, you know, bread. In the morning, you'll be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord, your God. But unfortunately, their situation was there was a lot of grumbling, a lot of murmuring. You know, they didn't really believe that God could take care of them. But nevertheless, he did. And he sent this thing. He sent something. They didn't know what it was. He also sent quails. He sent quails. In the evening, he sent this thing. They didn't know what it was. So when the children of Israel saw it, we're told in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 15, they said one to another, it is manna. Because they didn't know what it was. They just called it that thing. And I said, well, and Moses said, well, yeah, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing that the Lord has commanded, and he gave them instructions about it. You know, and so God supplied that supernaturally when they didn't have anything. It was actually God's response to the murmurings of the people, you know. And unfortunately, because of the murmurings of the people, they were going to get stuck with that manna instead of going to the promised land, you know. So I said, and I preached a lesson like this, I think it was at the church, manna, and someday I might explain it here. Manna is good, but the promised land is better. But still, God used the manna, you know, to fill in the gap, so to speak. And any one of you that may be going through situations, you know, maybe during the shutdown you lost your job, maybe you lost your job anyway, maybe whatever, in between jobs and things are hard and so forth. Well, God can still supply manna. Manna, though, is temporary. Now, God never wanted the children of Israel to live on the manna. I mean, like I said, it was a response to their grumblings. He wanted something better for them, a land of milk and honey. They could have got there in a few days or maybe a few weeks. But because of all of their grumbling and everything, it took them many, 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 many years, 40 years, and most of them died anyway. They never got there. You know, so, but this thing that God gave them, this manna, he supplied it supernaturally. It was the first account that we see in the Bible, like this, that God would supernaturally supply something, even to people who were grumbling. He did that. You know, how much more, you know, if God can do that to those who are, or do that for those who are murmuring against him, how much more you when you believe the Lord? He can supply your needs. Now, some people think, well, okay, so manna, that was then, but this is now. Well, that is limiting the Lord. You know, this manna may not fall down from heaven now, but God can open other doors to you. And it'd be like manna too. The way I see manna is God's answer when there is nowhere else to turn to supply them there. In the wilderness, they had nothing else. And, you know, and God was just there. And out of his mercy, even though they were grumbling, you know, God still sent them this manna. Praise the Lord. So, the answer of God at any time, even when we, when there is no means, by no means to answer the situation naturally, well, that can be an answer that is out of season. Now, there is a way though for you to never be out of season. You know, let's read what Psalm 1 talks about, how you can be connected and never be out of season. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, okay, let's check your ways. You know, the counsel of the ungodly, that is the wisdom of the natural man that does not even follow the ways of God. James talked about wisdom that is of the flesh. He said he called it sensual. Say sometimes it's even devilish. But he said the wisdom that is from above is first of all peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, and so forth, you know, and full of good fruits and without partiality and so on and so forth. But he said the wisdom of man can be sensual and can be even devilish. Now, if you follow the counsel of the ungodly, that may not lead to the right thing for you. That's their advice, the way they do things. Well, this scripture says, blessed is the man that does not do that. That does not walk in the counsel. You know, nor stand in the way of sinners. You know, follow their ways. Nor you sit in the seat of the scornful. Don't take company with people that make fun of the things of God. And, you know, just disrespect God, do all of these things, and so they couldn't care anything about the things of God. The Bible says, do not cast your pearls before dogs or swine, and so your jewels, you know, because they're your holy things, don't give them to dogs. And the things that you hold sacred, don't company with people who are going to trash those things. You know, so if you trash the things, I mean, I personally, here's a personal testimony. I can fellowship with everybody, anybody. And I love to fellowship with anybody. But when you begin to trash the things that I hold dear in my heart, well, that's a fellowship that will be broken. I can't do that. I can't stay in a place where people trash the things that I hold dear. If we are on common ground, we don't have to agree on everything, but at least the things on which we agree on, that's good. But when you begin to trash the things that I hold holy in my heart, then that's not going to work. You know, that's a union that's not going to last. And I'm out of there. You know, so you got to make up your mind not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, not to stand in the way of sinners, and not to sit in the seat of the scornful. Well, blessed is the man that does not do those things. But instead, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Well, which tells you that the counsel of the ungodly, the way of sinners, and the seat of the scornful are contrary to the law of the Lord. So he contrasts them here. These things, and then the law of the Lord. Now, but this man that meditates in the law of the Lord and delights in the law of the Lord day and night, well, he shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. So at first sight, when you read this, it's like, well, you know, during the fruitful season, this tree will bring forth fruit. But read a little further. It says, his leaf also shall not wither. That means He will never go out of season. Now, in countries where they have multiple seasons all year round, such as here in the United States, we have four seasons in most places. And, you know, during the fall, the leaves begin to fall from the trees and they begin to die away. By winter, they are dead. Most of the trees. In fall, you see all the leaves on the ground. You won't see the leaves on the tree anymore. When it gets deep into the fall season, you know, all the trees are falling. So I call it fall. And by winter, all those trees are dead. There's, you know, they have very skinny branches and nothing left on them. But that's because they're out of season. And if they survive somehow by spring, they begin to come back to life again. They go through those cycles and so on and so forth. But the man, we're told, that makes the word of the Lord his delight and is meditating on it day and night, well, he will be like a tree that's connected to rivers of water. It never runs dry. You know, it will bring forth its fruit in the natural season, but also there will be no fall season. His leaves shall not wither. He will never be out of season, really, is what this means. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So there is a way that we can actually transition from in-season, out-of-season, in-season, out-of-season. We can transition to being in-season all the time by staying connected with the source of all life and blessing. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13, this man lamented, you know, repeating what God said. He said, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And they have hewed out to themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Now, so God is the source. He is the fountain of living waters. He said, ho, come ye, every one of you that is athirst, come and take of the water of life freely. That's what he said. Isaiah 55 verse 1. He said also in the Revelation, come and take the water of life. But when we forsake the ways of the Lord and go after the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of sinners, sit with this kung fu, and try to use their methods, well, the Lord says that my people are forsaking me. So the way to, you know, to stay in season is to stay connected to this fountain of living waters. But nevertheless, there are times that you are doing your best to stay connected. I mean, you're doing all the hard, I mean, the right things, but still, you know, situation comes because Jesus spoke about it. You know, that you will have tribulation at times. And yesterday we spoke about it, the travail that people go through and so on. So in those moments, well, can you believe God was supernatural? A supernatural response from God. Now, we've seen some people where they had tremendous faith. That, you know, the story of the children of Israel, it wasn't faith that they had. In fact, they didn't believe God at all. It was just the mercy of God, you know, that sent manna to them. But even Jesus, he condemned that manna. He said in John chapter 6 that you thought that Moses gave you the bread from heaven. He said, but that was not the real bread. You know, your fathers ate those things and they are dead. All of them died. They ate those things. But look, there is a living bread. If you eat of that one, you will live forever. I say, wow. Yeah, that's right. You know, so, but God did use it to temporarily meet their needs. Now, sometimes, you know, God may give you manna also before you get to the promised land. When you are believing God for something, not because you are grumbling, those people are grumbling, but the people of Lord that are truly believing God for something, and they're going through hardship right now. Well, Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and 3, he said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So during difficult times, you must endure. You know, during the time of government shortage and so forth, thank God that they are trying to roll that back now. But, you know, it was just a harbinger of things to come to let the United States know that they are not immune to these things. You know, so people of the United States can suffer just like everywhere else. And they will even suffer more because they're not used to suffering. They're used to being pampered, you know, government handing out this, handing out that, and all these things, government programs, and which is good. A government must take care of its citizens. We know that's good. You know, but when some hardship comes, my goodness, they suffer a lot. It's like if there were a blackout, electricity blackout in the United States, people will be absolutely confused because they're not used to it. I know that occasionally when I drive on some streets here in our city, sometimes there will be a faulty, you know, the traffic lights. The traffic lights are in most major intersections. And sometimes, when you have like a busy intersection and the traffic light is faulty and it's good out before the police can get there to direct traffic, most people get there, they're confused. They don't know what to do. And I get there and I just go through. I'm used to driving like that, you know, crazy stuff, you know, grew up like that, driving like that in my country and so on, you know. So, but all these people who are used to driving normally, they wait for the light. They don't even know what to do. They just stuck there. You know, if I'm there at the intersection, I just go through because, you know, I'm used to that stuff. But these people are not used to it. And a little thing can paralyze the United States. A little thing. You know, they take out electricity and paralyze everything because they're not used to it. You know, so, you know, some shortage, some hardship can really paralyze this country because people are not used to it. That's why you must develop some ruggedness. I don't care whether you are in the United States or wherever you are. That's what Paul was saying to Timothy. You must endure hardness. You must develop ruggedness. You must build that capacity to endure and to withstand. Eh? And having done all, stand. Glory to God. If you have to be the last man standing, still be standing. That's it. You know, so, but then, you know, God will help. But what if the help is not coming through? And what are you going to do then? Are you going to give up? See, that's the thing. You know, when there is no help around, naturally speaking, or even from government or your job or whatever, well, then you have to kick it into out of season, trusting in the Lord during the out of season. You know, so during the out of season, when you don't have a job, when the government can't come through, when there's no help from anybody, not even help from your friends or your family. Vain sometimes is the help of man. You know, in those seasons, can God come through for you? Why? Absolutely. You know, God can, I mean, there are things that we go through. And I want you to know this goes, like I said, goes right along with a lesson from yesterday. You know, the hard times, the out of season times, it can't be forever. Even natural cycles, God showed us that. There's seasons for everything. There's a time for everything. Ecclesiastes 3 tells us, verses 1 to 8. There's a time for everything. And Psalm 30, verse 5 tells us, during the time of sorrow, you can call it the night time, he said, well, something is going to happen in the morning. So you may be out of season in the night. Sorrow may endure for a night. Yeah, that may be your out of season, but it's a cycle of joy coming in the morning. And, but you got to believe God, even in those moments of being out of season, when there is nothing anywhere, can God still meet your needs? Well, there are some stories in the Bible of hardships everywhere. And God still met the need. There was one man called Elijah. In fact, he brought it not only upon the world, but upon himself too. Because he said, look, you people are forsaking the Lord. And I'm going to show you now here that the Lord can hold the rain. And then by my word, unless I say so, there will be no rain these many years. He locked up heaven basically and walked away. And there was a strong, strong famine because of lack of rain. People's supply, everything ran out. And he himself, but, you know, would have been a victim of that. But the Lord, you know, came to him and said, you know, I want you to go to the brook Cherith. And you go there, you know, and I'll send the ravens to feed you. And this man had a kind of faith. He was connected to God to the point where he was supernaturally, you know, fed. I mean, God was sending food to him. He didn't have to cook. He didn't have to look for a place to look for food. There was no food anywhere. You know, God took him to a place where he could find water, clean water, and God was sending him food twice a day. You talk about angelic room service. Angel Lord would, you know, send those, get the food together and give it to those ravens, and they brought it to him. Hallelujah. Twice a day. You know, and he had another experience later on when he was running from Jezebel. And, you know, this time around, God didn't use any ravens. The angel of the Lord cooked him a meal directly. You know, woke him up and he had a meal cooking for him. And that's some power and that's some faith. You know, this man, you know, was not never out of season with supply. Whatever he needed, you know, he got it. You know, and he built off his enormous, tremendous faith. You know, God sent him chariots to bring him to heaven. That's a powerful story. His story was not the normal story. His own was extraordinary, but God showed you it could be done. People can believe God. We talked about a couple of stories yesterday of people that were at their wit's end and God supernaturally met their needs. This same Elijah, the word of the Lord, he brought to the woman that had a son who was about to die, making their last meal. The barrel of meal shall not waste. The crucifier shall not fail. We talked about that yesterday. We talk of the story of the woman who came to Elisha, who was about to lose her sons to slavery to pay for her debt that she couldn't pay. We saw how the Lord took care of it. On and on and on. We talk about the story of, you know, multitudes that Jesus, you know, would walk a miracle to feed. The blessing of the bread and the fish that he blessed and put in the hands of the disciples to feed the multitudes. We talk about those things. You know, and God can supply things out of the blue. It's just because we don't exercise our faith for it. And even if he doesn't do that, he will find a way, one way or another, if you stay connected to him, to bring you the information that you need, the strategy that you need. Right? To teach you how to survive and then thrive. See? So God, he told Noah what to do when he was going to destroy the world. Now, God told him the flood is coming, but God showed him how he's going to escape it. Showed him where to find wood. Now, God didn't build the ark, but he showed him where he would get supplies to build it. You know, so even if God does not send manna down to your laps, he will show you what you need to do. And you got to believe God for that. You know, because God is the one that creates the wood from which furniture is made. God didn't make any furniture. He just creates the timber and the wood, and he gives man the knowledge to figure out how to turn that into furniture. God didn't make the ark. Noah had to do it. Took him a long time, but God showed him how to get supply for it and gave him the knowledge of how to do it. And so, you know, when we are going through, we got to look to God. In those out of season moments, you got to look to God for him to give you wisdom and strategy and information and inspiration. Inspiration of the Almighty in your spirit, Job 32:8. Also Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct you and I will guide you with my eye. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 48:17 says, the Lord will teach you how to profit, even in these times when there is scarcity all around. Well, it says, when everybody else is saying that, you know, there is a downcasting and so on, well, he said, you will be saying that there is a lifting up. And so in this moment, when there is a downcasting all around everywhere, well, we ought to be saying that there is a lifting up. Let me talk about some promises that God promised us of how he's going to give us supply and meet our needs, even out of season. When the economy is crippled and when things are not yielding, well, God can still supply your needs. And here are some promises, you know, of how God can give us rest in the midst of troublous times. Well, you know, that's out of season, actually. I mean, there are two ways you can define peace. You can define peace as an absence of trouble, or even in the midst of the trouble, and God can still give you rest despite the trouble all around. You know, and that's, those kinds of promises are found throughout the scriptures, that no matter what else is happening, you know, because of your steadfastness and connectedness to the Holy Spirit. Here's what it says. Isaiah 32:17, walk of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places, even when there is hail coming down on the forest, even when the city shall be in a low place. See, this thing is telling you, during the low season or out of season, during hardship, during difficult times, during government shutdown or no supply or things are cut off from the vines and everything, well, he says, the Lord shall still cause his people to dwell in sure dwelling places, even when the city is laid low, when all things around you are cut off. God will still cause you, you know, to have abundance. You know, praise the Lord. In the book of Isaiah 62, the Lord makes a promise. And one of the reasons why people actually also get out of season is because the enemy comes in to try to devour what God has put upon, I mean, a blessing to God's people. The locusts can come and try to devour the harvest, you know, and what should have been a bountiful harvest, the locust comes in there and destroys all of it. Well, that locust can be the devil. So listen to this in the book of Isaiah 62:8. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies. This is another reason that can, you know, sap and destroy the blessing of God, turn people quickly from in season to out of season. And then it said, the sons of the strangers shall no longer drink thy wine, for the which thou hast labored. But they that have gathered it shall eat it. See, if you do the work, well, it's a gift of God for a man to both enjoy the fruit of his labor. It's a gift of God. Those that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. God will protect your labor, so that it's not like you are earning money to put in a bag of holes. Now, sometimes when people labor really hard, the devil can get in there and foul it up, you know, and, but God has a way of protecting that. And let's read Psalm 127 and read it in the first three verses or so and see what, you know, what the psalmist has to say about this. There is a lesson and an insight, you know, that is given to us here. He says, except the Lord build a house, they that build it are laboring in vain. And except the Lord keep the city, the watchman worketh, but it's in vain. Now, it is vain for you to rise up early. This is how the devourer devours the labor of people. God's supposed to bless the labor of your hands, you know, but the enemy can come in there and devour it. Now, when you have to rise up early, you have to sit up late only to eat the bread of sorrows. Well, that's not from God. Now, you're trying and you're doing your best, but, you know, that's a vain thing. The Bible says it's vain. That's not from God. Well, God doesn't do vain things. You know, if I have to, and sometimes people work very hard, and I salute those who are doing it. We're not making light of their situation. But if you have to work 3-4 jobs, you can't get any sleep, you rise early, you stay up late, and still it's the bed of sorrows, the bread of sorrows that you're eating, it's still affliction and everything. Well, and that's not from God. You know, God can give you rest. He give every beloved sleep. God wants us to work hard, but he also wants us to rest. I mean, if you're to the point where you have to walk all the time, you can't rest and so on, that's not from God. You know, so God will give you rest. He will give you means, you know, whatever you have in your hands. And sometimes some people, out of foolishness, they don't believe that God can take what they have in their hands and make it enough for them. And so they have to try to kill themselves, you know, to get more. Well, but God, you know, he can give you rest, and he can give you a strategy to take the little and stretch it. We talked about a little one becoming a great one yesterday. And God can supply even things, you know, that we were thinking, wow, how can he do it? Well, as far as God is concerned, whether it's little, whether it's a lot, Jonathan made a statement in 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 6. He said, you know, it doesn't matter with God, you know, to save either with little or with many. I alluded to this yesterday. You know, it doesn't matter. There's no restraint with the Lord. He can save with many, he can save with few. You know, he can bless you in season, he can bless you out of season. The way, that's the way, you know, when you're going to war and you outnumber your enemies, well, that could be in season for you, you know, because, I mean, the victory now, you think the spoil now is to the mighty, because, you know, you're fighting somebody that has 10,000 troops, but you have 50,000 troops. I mean, so we are expected to win. Yeah, that's a kind of in season. But if God were to change that around, like in the story of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, when three nations mightier than they came up came together against them. You know, Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. And they were completely outnumbered. Well, that's out of season. You know, if you have strength to go, you know, we have the numbers that may be called in season. The story of Gideon's army in Judges chapter 7. Gideon started out with what might have been in season because he had 32,000 troops. And he could go in there and by the strength of these troops, if he got the victory, then he would think he did it by himself. So the Lord will show us a lesson here. He said, well, in Judges chapter 7, verses 2 and 7, the Lord said, look, the people that are with you are too many for me to give the victory to you by them, because then you would think that you did it by this strength. You know, like I'm in season. I don't need to trust the Lord. I've got the numbers on my side. I can do it on my own. Well, that may be kind of in season. But when God pruned that out, or pruned it down. First, he got rid of 22,000. Then he got rid of some more. And finally, got down to 300. And God said, yeah, by this 300, I'm going to do it. You know, so that's more like a little. See, just like Jonathan said, whether it's a lot or a little, doesn't matter to God. And God sometimes will let there be little instead of plenty so that you can trust in him more. That's what God was showing Gideon. If I let you go with these 32,000 troops and you got the victory, you would think it's because of the numbers. But if I let you go with only 300 and you get the victory, which you will, then you will know it wasn't by the strength of those numbers. And so God is showing us that. You know, and there are many other, you know, similar stories like that. You know, there's one for Asa in 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and verse 11. Asa also, there was a time that he was outnumbered. And he made a statement similar to what Jonathan said. You know, Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said in 2 Chronicles 14 and 11, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many, that would be in season, or with them that have no power, that would be out of season. You have nothing to even fight with. And yet God can help you. You are completely outnumbered in the situation. That's out of season. And yet God can help you. You know, say, you know, help us, O Lord, for we rest in thee. And in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, our God, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against you. And they went up against, you know, the multitude of the Ethiopians and different things that came up against them. You know, and they got the victory. Jehoshaphat said the same thing. He said, our eyes are upon you, Lord. We have no power against this great multitude, but our eyes are upon you. And God showed us all those things. That even when you are outnumbered, when your situation overwhelms you, you know, so many bills and so many things and so on, you know, God can still bring you out of it. And God can make you make supernatural supply or show you a way out. Now, sometimes we get into situations due to lack of wisdom, lack of discretion, lack of proper planning. It's like the prodigal son. He came into a lot of wealth. And due to lack of prudence, and lack of proper management, he squandered everything. And then he began to be in want. You know, so he was in season at first, had a lot of plenty. Through his own foolishness, he put himself in out of season. And he was completely out. But thank God he came to his senses and knew what to do. And sometimes we find ourselves out of season because of some bad choices that we made. But today, nevertheless, no matter how you found yourself there, a bad choice that you made, elements around you that you have no control over, or whatever. It doesn't matter. You know, now if it is bad choices, we need to pray that God will give us wisdom so we don't make these bad choices, because most people are just one bad choice away from disaster. Just one bad move, one bad decision away, and then they lose everything. So we don't want that. So we pray that that's not the case. You know, a prudent man foreseeth the evil, you know. Think ahead, plan ahead, don't just do things anyhow. Hide himself from it. But the foolish, they just do things anyhow, and they get into trouble. They get punished. But whether it was out of foolishness or situation that you cannot control, or however you find yourself in the out of season time, well, let's believe God. God cannot only meet your needs in season when everything is good. He can also meet your needs out of season. That's what this lesson is about, to encourage you. And most of the time, many of us are out of season more often than we are in season. And that's a bad situation. You know, God wants you. I wish above all things, 3 John and verse 2, that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. Not just barely surviving, but you can thrive. God can show you how. Praise God. And one of the reasons that people don't thrive is due to lack of knowledge. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says, my people perish, you know, due to lack of knowledge. They perish. They don't understand, you know, if we don't have knowledge and we don't have understanding, and we can miss a lot of opportunities. You know, but I leave that for another day. But today, I want to let you know that, look, no matter what you're going through, no matter where you find yourself, you know, the Lord said, I will no longer give thy corn to be meat for thy enemies. But you that have gathered it, you will eat it in the house, courts of my holiness, saith the Lord. In Psalm 92, you know, verses 12 and 15, I mean 12 to 15, we see even the blessing of God, even out of season, you know. I mean, you would think that normally when people are young and vibrant and all of that, you know, that's when they bring forth fruit. Well, this scripture says that, well, even out of season, praise God. It doesn't matter. The righteous, he said, shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord, see, but they are connected to the source of living waters. They shall flourish in the courts of our God, anywhere they are. They shall still bring forth fruit out of season in the old age. That's right. You know, out of season. They shall be fat and flourishing. Why? To show that the Lord is upright and it's my rock. There's no unrighteousness in him. Things that I expected can be thought of as in season. You know, but out of season, even Paul, he said, I was one born out of season, because he was a terrorist. He said, I am the least among all the apostles because I did crazy stuff. You know, he was born out of season. It wasn't, I mean, people were not expecting somebody like that to be converted and then become a champion of the faith, because he was doing evil against the church. Well, so that was like an out of season conversion. In-season conversion might be, well, you know, people who are raised in church, your parents are praying over you all the time, teaching you the word of God, throwing it down your neck and throat and everything, dragging you to Bible study, dragging you to night vigil and everything. You know, if they get converted, that may be in-season conversion. Out of season, people who never heard the gospel, they never had a chance, they were born and out in sin, they would never be in the house of God, they are doing crazy stuff. Yeah, the harlots, you know, and there are all these things. And Jesus said, well, even out of season, they can be brought in. You know, many harlots, you know, and those who people call sinners, publicans, and all these things, tax collectors, and people who twist hands and do all of these things. Jesus said they can come in because they can be converted. They're not going to come in their sinful nature. But at one point in time, they will meet the Lord and they can convert it and they can come in. You know, so every aspect of life has in season and out of season. In season expectations and out of season supernatural answer. Praise God. You know, when you're sick, you can do in season treatment. You can go, you know, get treated, take medication, get some rest, do all of these things they prescribe, yeah, and it'll work. God put a blessing on that too. There's nothing wrong with it. You know, and then God can supernaturally heal some people too. You know, like this man in John chapter 5, there's a story there. And then we're told that at a certain time, there was an angel that came and stirred the pool. Right? And everybody's waiting for their season. In fact, they use the very word. At a certain season, some angel came, stirred that pool, and whosoever first entered into the pool after it was stirred was healed of whatever sickness he had. Well, that was the in-season healing. But Jesus is going to show us the out-of-season healing. So let's read that. Which is called in the Hebrew language Bethesda, which had five porches. And there, in these porches lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered. They were waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season. So there was a certain season. Everybody kind of calculated, waited for it. They camped out. It's like people camp out on the Black Friday. Thanksgiving week is coming. People camp out. They're waiting for the stores to open. Not so much so now since COVID. They've kind of changed that around. But, you know, people used to be out there, you know, waiting, you know, throughout the night for the doors of these stores to open. You know, well, these people are camping out. Because they knew that they didn't know the exact day, but they knew around the season, around this certain time, the angel would come, would stir that pool. And you better be paying attention because whoever gets in there first, that's it. He got in and nobody else. So this man also kept coming and sometimes there's a lot of people like him in this situation, but sometimes, many times, somebody else got in ahead of him, but he kept coming. So one day Jesus showed up for out of season. That's right. And this man was still in his mind. Well, you know, I got to get in that pool. I'm waiting for the angel. And when he stares the pool, if I catch it just right and I happen to be the first person, then I'm going to be healed. And Jesus said, that's in season. Today, let's do something different for you. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Today, forget about the angel. Forget about the pool. Right here, right now. Even though it's not time for the angel to come, which would be in season because they planned for it, God visited this man out of season and he was healed out of season. Praise the Lord. So now, of course, many of us were like this man. You know, we've zeroed in on the way we think that God is going to do it. That's our in season way of thinking. We're going to receive this thing from God. You know, if I do this and I do that, because that's the way God has always done it, and that's the way it's going to be. Well, that's expectation. That's in season. God can do something completely different. But God's not one-way traffic. You can't put God in a box. And God can show up and do completely different. And that's what Jesus showed here. You know, so some people may think, well, I got to do this to get my healing. I got to do the other thing. And if I don't do this, if I don't do that, well, that's all good. And those are in season. If you do it right, you get helped, you know. If the doctors tell you to do it and you do it right, you get health, and God uses that. But God can heal you out of season two. You know, they might tell you have to go through 6 weeks of therapy, 10 weeks of this, that, and so forth. All of that in season, if you do it right, you get some help. But out of season, God can come supernaturally and touch you. Glory to God. But you got to believe for it, you know. And every time that people always try to put God in a box like that, then God can show up and do something completely different. You know, completely different, just like in this case. So let's not, you know, tie God down to a certain way. The only way I can be blessed is I can take 3-4 jobs. Or that would be in season. And God can use that. But, you know, don't be like this man that thinks that that's the only way he can be healed. You know, if I can just make it when the angel stirs the pool. But, I mean, the odds of him making it, well, they say there were great many impotent folk. So it was one out of those numbers. If there were 1,000 people there, then it was one out of 1,000. You know. But, you know, if God came to you out of season, he's 100%. You know, that's it. Because God just comes for you. If you believe God out of season, it's not one out of 1,000, one out of 10,000 anymore. It's you. It's right there. You can believe God for it. Praise God. So, other stories like that throughout the Bible, but we got to believe God. Now, we do not want to be, you know, the devil can put hand in your blessing, the hard work that you're working on. In Haggai chapter 1, verse 6, we're told that people work hard, right? But the devil put hand in it. It's like, you know, put earn your money and put in a bag of holes. And the devourer comes in there, you labor. You know, that's what Isaiah 62 was talking about. And then the sons of the stranger come in. He thinks of Gideon was in that position. They would thresh everything, do all the work, and then the Midianites would come in, bully them, and get all the stuff that they just worked hard for. You know, and so they, you know, all their work went to nothing. Work hard. I mean, you're doing your job faithfully. You go to work at 8, you come back at 5, you do all of these things, you are very faithful on it and so forth. You're doing it diligently, you get your paycheck, but then the devil put hand in it. You know, every time you get a paycheck, your car blows up, your air conditioner blows up, things in your house blow up. I mean, everything blows up. Some medical thing comes up. And then, you know, it's like putting money in a bag of holes. You're earning the money, but you're putting in a bag of holes. Because the devil put hand in it. Now, we're going to cancel that because the Bible says, my people shall rest in quiet dwelling places. That's right. The enemy shall not exact upon you. You know, and we're going to cut off the hand that's, you know, ripping your bag out from the bottom. And you're earning all this money and, you know, doing that. Now, that's not God's plan. So, there's some prayers I want to make. Like I said, this is a follow-up to yesterday. There's some prayers I want to make, especially along those lines. And look, do all you can. But after you've done all you can, if you listen to that song at the beginning, it said, when you've done all you can, then what else? And it seems like it's still not enough. Then what? Well, you still got to stand. Praise the Lord. You know, that's what you must do. When you think you have done everything and still it is not enough, what is the next thing to do then? What will you do next? Well, you will trust in the Lord that is able to do even beyond that. The Lord is able to make even your out-of-season time to be like you are in season. Praise the Lord. Now, here's the thing I want us to do today. Consider the times that you are in season. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 14. In the days of prosperity, during your during your in-season, well, rejoice. It is a good thing for a man have to eat the good of all his labor is the gift of God. So, yeah, when things are going great, enjoy. But remember to give thanks to the Lord. you know, Deuteronomy 8 and 18 says, remember the Lord, you know, in the days of your prosperity, for it is he that giveth thee power to get that wealth. So you remember him, you know, when you are doing well. Remember the Lord. That's a good thing. But the Lord gave you the joy and the prosperity. Well, rejoice and enjoy it. That's a good thing, you know. But, you know, there's coming time when there will be adversity. The days of prosperity, that's your in season. The days of adversity, that's your out of season. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:14, these two are side by side. God put them one against the other, that's side by side. To the end that you must always trust him, whether in season or out of season. Praise God. You know, so, you know, that's it. When you've done everything you can and you're doing everything you can, you must continue to trust the Lord. You must continue to stand right there. When you fear the Lord and you're doing everything you can, but still, it seems as if you are in darkness. Isaiah has an answer for you. What do you do? Well, let's read it in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10. Who among you? This is the chapter where he said, I know the Lord God will trust, will help me and I will trust him and so forth. Just some few verses before this verse 10, he said that in verse 7. And in verse 10, that was our memory verse some days ago. In verse 10 of Isaiah 50, he poses this question to those who are doing everything. You're trying, you know, but still, it looks like it's not working. Then what should you do? Here's the way Isaiah puts it. He said, who is among you that feareth the Lord, obeyeth the voice of his servant? You're doing the right thing. You're stay connected with the Lord, meditating on the word of God, and so on and so forth, which the Lord said, if you do, you have good success. But you're still walking in darkness, it seems. And you still have no light. There still doesn't seem to be a breakthrough. Everything is still cloudy. The sun doesn't seem to be shining through for you. But yet you are doing everything that you think you can do. What should you do then? Well, here's the answer. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and let him stay upon his God. Stand right there in faith. Don't give in. And don't give up. Don't turn to the left and don't turn to the right. Just because, you know, things are not, you know, this is how people get discouraged. The devil discouraged them. I will tell them, you know, you think God loves you? He doesn't. If he did, he wouldn't let all these things happen to you and so on. Well, who is he among you that is doing all the right thing, trusting the Lord, believing the word, doing all these things, and yet things are not going right? Well, stay right there with the Lord. Trust in him. He's coming for you. Our God will come and he will save you. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your children. Yes, we bring admonition every day. We bring encouragement to the people. The scripture says when men are cast down, we will say that there is a lifting up. And today, Lord, there may be a lot of casting down, a lot of head bowed down, so forth. And I'm saying in the name of the Lord that, there shall be a lifting up, you know, for the people of God. Praise God. Be a lifting up for you in the name of Jesus. Job said, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth and lay up the words of the Lord in your heart. And if thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. And then put away iniquity from your tabernacles. Then shall thou lay up gold as dust and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense and thou shalt have plenty of silver. And then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty. You lift up your face to God. You make your prayer unto him and he shall hear thee. You also pay your vows. Thou shalt also decree a thing and it shall be established unto thee. And the light will shine upon your ways. Now, when men are cast down, you will say unto them, there is a lifting up, because you are now able to comfort those who are troubled by the same comfort wherewith God has comforted you. Glory to God. And you were able to even save people out of their distresses. Praise the Lord. That's Job chapter 22, verses 21 to the end. The Lord bless everyone that's in here. I pray for you that you be steadfast in your mind. Endure hardness. Know that God is able, you know, to bring you out of that situation. That night cannot last forever. But stay right there. Don't turn to the left or the right. God is able to answer you even in that moment of darkness. In the moment of lack, God is still able to supply your needs. In the moment of plenty, well, rejoice. In the moment of lack, trust in Him. Hallelujah. Trust in Him always. Hallelujah. And lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. And the Lord will direct your paths. I pray and the Lord give you understanding concerning these things. To trust not in the arm of flesh, but to trust in the Lord. And when it's good, you trust the Lord. When things are bad, you trust the Lord. You praise Him when things are good, you praise Him when things are bad. You enjoy the blessing of the Lord when things are good, you keep trusting Him when things are bad, and He'll come through for you. The night will never last long. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, they have prayed. Amen and amen.